Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, did you find something slightly weird about the gospel reading for today, Mark chapter 11? Normally, we hear that kind of a reading around the time of Lent during Holy Week as Jesus is riding into Jerusalem on the donkey, getting ready to then die for the sins of the world. But we have it here on the first Sunday of Advent. Was that a typo? Was that a mistake? No, actually not. There's an incredible tie-in with the gospel reading for today. And even though we might have the blues of Advent here, the colors of the coming, looking forward to coming, this reading from Mark 11 is actually very appropriate. And we'll figure out why. And I'd like to read that first section for you and see what you notice. Mark chapter 11. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately, as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and we'll send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it." What word do you notice over and over again in those first couple of verses? Colt. There's a donkey involved. Now, some of you may have your nativity scene set up, I don't know. But sometimes at nativity scenes, we see donkeys, right? And according to legend, and we don't know for sure, but Mary may have ridden on a donkey into Bethlehem. We don't know. So there is this donkey thing going on, but that's not exactly the tie-in, but it does have to do with a donkey. So let me read for you from a prophecy in the Old Testament, and maybe this will start to tie things together for us on this Advent. And by the way, what does the word Advent mean? Adventus, the Latin word for coming. So listen to Zechariah chapter 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey," on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So here in this passage from Mark, we have this emphasis on the donkey, the colt, over and over again, but this is very deliberate, as the Old Testament prophet is, this prophecy is being fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah, the one who is foretold, the one who was to come. And so it's a very appropriate reading as we look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ in this season of Advent. And I don't know, are you excited about the coming of Christmas? I know some of you are. And the people of Jerusalem were really excited when they had Jesus coming in to Jerusalem. Listen to the crowd's reaction as we continue with that reading from Mark chapter 11. "And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David! Hosanna in the highest!'" What a scene, what a parade. Here comes Jesus coming into Jerusalem on the donkey, and the people are waving branches around, and it's like a big procession of a king coming in. And that word Hosanna, it means save us. Hosanna is that word that you might say to a royal, powerful king who you hope will come and save you. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Those words are from Psalm 118. Those phrases that they are saying are from Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26, which were used by pilgrims when they would go to Jerusalem. So there's people visiting the city, and then Jesus comes processing in, and they're all excited because you know what? They're hoping that this mighty Messiah, the promised one foretold, will come in and take care of the political problems. Will take care of the problems and give them the prosperity that they desire. That's why they were excited. The Jews during that time were dealing with the occupation of the Romans, and it was a touchy relationship sometimes. The Jews were not pleased with the Romans, using their power, and they were looking forward to someone who would come along and take care of the political situation. And notice what they said, blessed is the one, and then they talk about the coming kingdom of David. Remember, David is a significant figure in the Old Testament. David was one of those powerful kings, and during the time of David, a lot of wonderful things began to happen, and David's reign set up a huge time of prosperity when his son Solomon took over, and there was an incredible time of peace and riches and prosperity. So they're excited because this Messiah king, they think, is going to come in, conquer the Romans, bring political peace and prosperity. Who wouldn't be excited? I think sometimes we would love for Jesus to come riding into Washington, walk into that Oval Office and say, I'm in charge now. Step aside, leaders. We'd love for Jesus to do this all across the globe. Come into North Korea and say, give me those missiles, those are mine. And take over all over the world where Jesus would come in and bring political peace. Wouldn't that be marvelous? What an image. We go through some rough times right now, whether in our nation, in the world, or in your own life. And I think there are times when we want Jesus to come in right now and take over so that there might be peace and prosperity. You might have heard the news article about the North Korea situation, and one of the latest news articles says this: North Korea's intercontinental ballistic missile fired this week potentially has the capability of reaching targets as far as 8,100 miles away, putting Washington, D.C. within reach, South Korean officials said Friday. Maybe you heard about the terrible tragedy in Somalia that killed 512 people. And over again, I don't need to repeat to you the different things that are happening in the world. Oh, Jesus, if you just come in, ride in and take over this entire world right now. And while you're at it, Jesus, if you could give me the prosperity that I was hoping for, the health that I so desire, the wealth that would be so nice, and the fame, the power that I wish that I could have. But we don't see that right now, do we? And I think there are times when we find ourselves disappointed, maybe a little frustrated, maybe feeling a little bit helpless and wondering, God, what are you up to? What are you up to, God? Well, you might be in good company with the people of Jerusalem because they had expected that Jesus, right then and there, in their own time frame, in their own way of thinking, would come in and rescue and save. But I think they were rather disappointed when Jesus, not too long after he rode on the back of a donkey into Jerusalem, had upon his back a cross as he exited out of Jerusalem, headed to the place called Golgotha, where he would die. So much for the great Savior, the great Messiah, right? Isaiah 64 says, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. But for now, we wait. We wait. Now, Jesus came. No, make no mistake about it. This was the correct Messiah. We didn't get the wrong Messiah here. This is the right Messiah. But he came at that moment in time there in Jerusalem for a particular purpose that was much broader than a local correction of politics. Jesus had a bigger plan than to just come in and make everything right for a particular nation. His plan was much far-reaching. We'd like to see power. We'd like to see God come and conquer in the way that we would like. And yet we see God doing what he needed to do through what we might consider weakness. What we might consider weakness. There's an Advent devotional that you have that's been distributed for you that I hope you can read this Advent season. The author's name is Chad Bird, and he had some interesting thoughts in the devotion written for today about God and what he's doing. From the devotional, it says this: when God does something, it always looks as if nothing will come of it. It's not glorious enough. Doesn't have the wow factor necessary to make a splash. If Jesus had charged into Zion atop a hoof-stomping stallion and waved a saber in the air, that might bode well for his future legal prospects. Instead, he plods along on a colt with his students' shirts for a saddle. Chad Bird points out that Jesus even borrowed the donkey. It wasn't even his donkey. We see apparent weakness here, and we see apparent weakness upon the cross, where Jesus is hanging there, bloodied and beaten. And he is mocked. And notice what the religious leaders say about Jesus in the book of Mark. "Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those that were crucified with him also reviled him. Jesus could have come down from the cross. Jesus had the power where he could have ripped himself off the cross and sent not only one angel, which could destroy an entire army, but thousands of angels. He had the power to do that right then and there, but he chose to stay on the cross because his plan was more far-reaching than taking care of a local political problem. His goal and his plan, this was God's tremendous, amazing plan for you and for me, was that the Savior would come to die for the sins of the world, for your sins and my sins, for all the sins that we see in various countries, for all the nonsense that we see going on in the world. That's why Jesus came to die on the cross. If Jesus had not done this, then we would not be excited about the coming presence of God. Isaiah, when he said those words, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down," he goes on and he talks about the sin that's going on in the nation. And maybe it wouldn't be such a great idea if God would come down at that moment, especially for those, especially for those who were the sinners. It says in Isaiah 64, verse 5, "Behold, you were angry and we sinned. In our sins we have been a long time. And shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like polluted garments. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind takes us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities." If Christ were to come in all his glory, apart from what he did for you on the cross, it would not be a happy day for you, because you would be damned to hell apart from Christ for all eternity. Is that unfair? No. Because we are the ones who have rebelled. We are the ones who have turned away from a holy and righteous and perfect God. But Jesus came for the purpose to save you. To save you and to save me. Remember those marvelous words from the book of John, chapter 3? "For God so loved the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." It goes on in 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world." I'm so grateful that Jesus came in the weakness of the cross so that I would be forgiven, that you would be forgiven. And we know that our glorious Lord is risen. He's risen from the dead. And is our Lord at work right now, even now when we don't necessarily see what he's up to? Absolutely, because Jesus is not dead, he's alive. From that devotional, I read the other section for you. It was just a fabulous message. And again, this talks about how God works even when we don't always recognize it. "So when Jesus shows up on our doorstep, it won't be our eyes that tell us he's there, but his word. Our eyes will say, 'Looks like a mere man,' but the word says he's God. Our eyes will tell us nothing will come of what he does, but his word says everything good will come from it. He is our life, salvation, and resurrection." Right now, God is at work, but he works in a I guess you could say, a hidden way. His glory is veiled right now at this time. And God works through his powerful and wonderful word. He gives you his precious promises. What a privilege we have in times of difficulty, in times of struggle, in times of doubt, to turn to his word and see the precious promises that are written for you in his word, which speaks of the life and wondrous hope that you have in Christ. God also works through ordinary things like water and through bread and wine. Look at our banners today. Look at our banners. And you may wonder what's going on with the banners, but those are chalices. They're cups. And look what the cup on the right says. It says, "Come Christ." And then down there in black letters underneath the cup, it says, "To me." "Come Christ to me." Then on the other side, you can see in the chalice, it says, "Prince of Peace." And then that word, "Rejoice." God does amazing things through ordinary, simple things that don't look like much, but when he is at work, then wonderful things happen. Christ given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do you feel weak right now? Do you feel powerless? Are you going through a time maybe of struggle in your life? God can use you during this time of weakness. Because it's not about you. It's not about how clever you are. It's not about how healthy you are. But it's rather about him and what he is doing through you. God is at work even now as the Holy Spirit is at work in your heart through the word. I love those words that God says to Paul. He says, "My power is made perfect in weakness." There are times when we could get discouraged as a smaller congregation, maybe comparing ourselves to others. But make no mistake about it, that God is at work through his word, and he's working through you in various ways. And he will continue to do so until the time when Christ comes back. And this is then another piece of good news for us. Christ is coming back. Are you frustrated about the political situation in America and in the world? Are you frustrated about how life is going? Take heart, because Christ is coming back. And when Christ does come back, all will be made right. It says in Philippians chapter 2 these words, "At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." That includes our president, that includes the presidents of the world, the princes, the princesses, the dignitaries. Everybody will bow to Jesus. All will be made right. Jesus may have come in on a donkey into Jerusalem, but guess what? When he comes back, he's going to come as a warrior. Listen to these words from Revelation. Revelation chapter 19. "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So we close with these words from that hymn that we sang. "The King shall come when morning dawns and light and beauty brings. Hail Christ the Lord, your people pray. Come quickly, King of Kings." Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until Christ comes again. Amen.